This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil premieres April 30th, only on Hulu.
Welcome to the RuPaul's Drag Race Recap Show for All-Star Season 7, Episode 11, titled Drag Race Gives Back Variety Extravaganza. My name is Joe Batance, and I am joined, as always, by one talented, co-host from the podcast Bravo, Bravo, Effing Bravo. Please say,
is she gonna kill herself?
To Nathan Patrick Brown. Hello, Nathan Patrick Brown.
Hi, Joe. How are you?
I'm doing very, very well. But you know how I am, because we just discussed it on a show we do called Just Between Us Girls.
But that doesn't get released, does it, to anybody? That's just a private conversation?
Yes. Could you take your headphones off for a second?
Yeah, okay. Sure.
Guys, Nathan doesn't know this, but I actually release Just Between Us Girls on Patreon. And if you join at the executive level, you can hear, he doesn't know, you can hear all his secrets. I don't tell any secrets, I know it's being released. And also, if you're on Apple Podcasts, you can just scroll up and it's right there. You can subscribe and you get Just Between Us Girls at the same time. And there's all kinds of great shows. But the whole point of Just Between Us Girls is just to spill Nathan's secrets. Okay, Nathan, you can put your headphones back on. I'm motioning for him to do that.
Yeah. Okay, thanks.
All right, perfect. And so patreon.com/afterthoughtmedia. You can get all these, no secret shows, just shows that you know about. You can get those at patreon.com/afterthoughtmedia. Now, I got other big news, Nathan Patrick Brown, is next week, for the week of the finale, there's an annual live gay podcasting event called Pride 48, okay? And it's, in theory, 48 hours of gay podcasting. And we are part of it. We are going to be doing our show live next Saturday, July 30th at 4 p.m. Pacific, 7 p.m. Eastern over at pride48.com. It'll be, and if you want, so if you've always wanted to listen live, but you don't, you're not a Patreon supporter, you can actually do that next week and go in the chat room and say horrible things about me. And, but patreon.com, no, that's not Patreon. Pride48.com next Saturday, July 30th at 4 p.m. Pacific. Myself, you, Nathan, and Taylor the Latte Boy.
Wow. How did we get him? What a boon.
I know. We'll be recapping the season finale of RuPaul's Drag Race All-Stars Season 7. So join for that, and we will have a great time. Pride48.com. They're there all weekend, by the way. That's just when our show is. So check it out. Go to Pride48.com for more details. Okay. Let's just jump right into it, Nathan Patrick Brown. This week, the queens show off their talents in an attempt to capture three legendary legend stars and share a tic-tac with Rue and Michelle. After all was said and done, Monet Exchange and Shea Coulee were named the top two all-stars of the week, booked their spots in the finale, and duked it out in a lip-sync battle for their charities. Shea Coulee was named the winner of the lip-sync and will be joined by Monet Exchange, Jinx Monsoon, and Trinity the Tuck in next week's Lollapalooza lip-sync for the crown. Meanwhile, the remaining four queens will get a shot at 50,000 doulas and the title of Queen of She Done Already Done Had Herses. Nathan Patrick Brown, named two things about the episode and one thing you did not.
Well, okay, so I was super disappointed with this episode. So let's start with the things I liked. Mm-hmm. I liked that it was a Kylie Minogue lip sync song. You know, we love to see Kylie. It was a great song. The second thing I liked was Monet's performance. I thought it was really nice to see some talent and variety in a talent and variety show. I thought that was novel.
Yeah.
Okay. So what I didn't like, I just feel so let down by the rigor of this show. And like, I know we always expect it, but I have not been this mad at a TV show since the Game of Thrones finale. I just think it's bullshit, this whole three stars thing, just to get Shay into the finale. Like, it's so transparent and obvious, and it just makes the whole season we've just watched for months pointless. Like, why did we have a platinum plunger if the blocks don't matter? Because in the last episode, people can just win three stars. It was so annoying to me. And, like, I could have been fine with it, you know, because it gave everyone sort of an even playing field for this episode. I could have got on board, but then to actually have Shay win when I don't think she should have won this challenge, it's just a huge slap in the face. And I'm sick of, like, Michelle Visage, the Grima worm tongue of drag, being like a mouthpiece for the producers and being like, I thought Shay's performance was the best. There, I'm going to say it. And I'm like, no, you fucking didn't. It just sickens me how she can get up there and lie and say shit just for their own little storyline that they want to have. And, like, the bottom four are now going into their own little, like, 50 grand lip sync playoff. So it's like, why couldn't Shay have just been in the bottom? Like, who is she fucking on production? I just feel so bad for, like, Raja and for Jada. I hated it. Hated it. What did you think?
So what's funny, let's discuss this rant you just had, is a lot of people reached out to me that I know personally who watch Drag Race, but of course don't fucking listen to the goddamn show, and are like, hey, did you watch Drag Race? What'd you think of it? And I was like, I have an entire fucking empire built on this show, so you can just listen to the fucking goddamn show. I actually am kind of rude to them about it, and they go, oh, sorry. But then what I always follow up with is, you can tell me what you think and I'll engage. I'm not going to sit there and tell a whole personal show for you. Unless I join at patreon.com/afterthoughtmedia at our new outrageous tier, where I call you and I do a personal show for you. And they asked me if I was angry about it. And I'm going to tell you something. No. But.
What?
Well, no, but I'm going to tell you why. Because being angry would mean that I care enough to be angry. Now, before that sounds, you know, like, oh, don't do a fucking show. Right? I actually had an appointment with my psychiatrist yesterday. And I had said, I was talking about something else, but I was saying, like, you know, I never feel like, you know, as you know, I won something last week. You know, I won a prize. And I was talking about how, like, when I won the prize, I didn't do cartwheels and, you know, jump for joy and scream and yell. I was like, oh, that I was very, very happy, but I was just like, oh, that's very nice, right? And I was wondering why I've always been like that, you know? And he goes, you know, believe it or not, that's actually a healthier approach than people who do go crazy over things, because when for all the equal highs, they have the equal lows. You know? And then he's the one actually who likened the Drag Race recap. And I didn't even bring up Drag Race. But he said, I know you do a podcast. And he's all, do you get super excited about RuPaul's Drag Race? And I go, not really. And he goes, yeah, and that's good because it helps preserve your energy, conserve your energy, rather. And I was like, oh, that's exactly it. I'm just conserving my energy for the show. Otherwise, I'll burn out. If I'm super excited by everything that happens, or angry, or elated, I'll be Taylor and burn out, you know? So I have to, but going back to now, here's the logical reason why I didn't care. We've been done, knew they were going to do this. This is not shocking. We've talked about it on this show.
I think that's what stings me more, though. Like, I feel so much more deflated just being like, I saw this coming, and yet it still kills me. And I don't know if it's because I'm more invested this season because I'm recapping this season and I haven't recapped any other seasons, but like I like shut my laptop watching that and I just didn't want to watch it again to take notes. I was just like, I'm done with this episode. No, I'm not done with Drag Race, but I just felt so deflated from it.
You know, I saw this, I was looking at social media and whatnot, and I saw someone say like they were really upset about this. And then they said, well, we might as well give, okay, well then, if that's the case, if this is the final four, Shay, Jinx, Monet, and who am I missing?
Trinity.
if this is the final four, then we might as well just give it to Monet because she's the one who deserves to win because she's the best lip syncer and that's who's going to win. And I was like, oh, baby. Don't underestimate the, it's funny to like, I can't, it's weird to say, I can't believe none of this mattered. Now let's talk about the next episode as if it matters.
Yes.
Good Whoever point. They want to win is gonna win. Jinx could do, I'm not saying it's Jinx, but let's say they want Jinx to win. Jinx could fucking go out there in a fucking diaper and they will be like, Jinx, you know, you're beautiful. What did I remember the fetish part of
you're
that?
You're perfect. You're beautiful. Yeah.
And she could do that. So they want, whoever they want to win is going to win. None of this matters. It's one of these things that where they've always done this, but now they're just brazenly doing it openly.
And that's what's a slap in the face though. Mm-hmm. And to like make Monet split that tie, like that almost made me just as angry because it's like, you know what? It's gutless because like RuPaul, you can make a decision. You're making decisions in the background. The producers are making all of these decisions. Just fucking own it and break the tie or come up with a mechanism.
They still made a decision. They made the decision by having Monet do it. Because if you think about it, what she would have really... Monet just won 3 stars. She didn't win the most stars, right?
Yeah.
The real person they would have gone to is Jinx and said, Jinx, we want you because you won the most challenges. Mm-hmm. Jinx won 5 challenges. Because you won the most challenges, you should determine the tie. The problem was they wanted Trinity, not Jada. And they knew that there was a chance Trinity would choose Jada. I mean, I'm sorry, Jinx would choose Jada. And so they knew Monet was going to choose Trinity. No one thought otherwise.
And I think also having the variety show at the end, they know what everyone's going to do. So, it was completely manipulated.
They know everything's going to happen. And they know it's going to happen next week. And it's just now they don't care. They will just do what they want. So even – I've said this before, and I'll say it again. RuPaul's Drag Race is a reality show pretending to be a competition. Okay? Mm-hmm. It is not a competition. It is I wouldn't even call it a talent show anymore. It's really just a reality show with a predetermined winner. I think it used to be that they had an idea. I used to say, and this is what I really truly thought then, that they had an idea of what was going to happen and then they would adjust as things happened. All Stars 2 is a perfect example. Okay. Mm-hmm. Where I feel that they had a set way they were going to do things and then Adore quitting fucked it all up. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And so they had to adjust, you know. I don't think that could even happen. I think there is a clear way that they're going to do things. And this season, just fucking, we're going to do it this way. This is the way it's going to happen. That Shea probably intentionally only got 1 star because they were going to do this. And, they don't give a shit. They don't care.
But why? Like, why, when they story produced this season before it started, like, why did they just pick this? Like, who does Jada need to pay to, like, get on the same level as Shea Coulee in their books?
Because I'll tell you what it is, and I hate to be this cynical or whatever. I'm being completely honest. I believe they're afraid of Shea.
Okay.
And that Shea will go on and make some sort of crazy accusation on social media, and so it's all like Shea's not above that. I mean, Shea's in the final four, and she said shady shit about the production on social media. You know. So, and I think they're just afraid of Shay and everything that comes with that. And so, I don't think that they think Shay is great. I just think that they're afraid of her. And so, I mean, if Shay wins next week, I think you might as well just burn the motherfucking place down. I don't think they'll do that.
Right. Cause they filmed multiple endings. Like, I'm assuming, so they would just decide this week who's going to win? Like, it doesn't matter what they do?
They're going to have a top two.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's the one. So they can't fudge the other two. But, they're going to have multiple... They have a choice between two people. I'm predicting it'll probably be Jinx and Monet. I don't know.
Yeah. I could see that. It all depends on what songs they put up as the lip sync songs.
I don't think they care. I don't think it matters. There were several lip syncs this season. Several lip syncs this season where you and I were like, that other person clearly won.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right. Yeah.
You know, actually speaking of this lip sync, I don't know if you saw this on social media, but someone, I couldn't remember anything now. But this was the same song that they used for the finale of UK versus the World. And, and someone had said, you know, made a point about how, like, finally the song, they made some sort of argument about how, like, a tweet about how, like, oh, thank God they did it twice because it was redeemed this time or something. Because remember, it was Blue Hydrangea versus, was it, what the fuck is that bitch's name?
Janie JK?
Oh, I don't remember who it was. Blue Hydrangea versus somebody. And I remember that but I remember that we were thinking, like, Blue Hydrangea was not good. And they, like, just gave her the fucking crown. And, yeah. Because they had to go to a UK person. And I think it was another UK. I feel like it was have people written in the Discord who it was? Blue versus.
I can have a look. It's very whose line is it anyway, where the points don't matter.
Yeah.
And
it's funny that you say that. It's funny that you say that because I was like, oh, wait. The entire show has become Snatch Game, where they make that joke on Snatch Game, where she'll be, and the winner is, who cares? You know, it's now like an Ouroboros with like the, you know, snake eating its own tail. And now it doesn't matter anymore. It's just the points don't matter. Nothing matters. This is just a reality. And it's also, there is a sort of smugness about it where it's just like, we're going to do this, faggot, because you're going to watch anyway.
I know, and they're so correct, because I am still going to watch, but it's just the obviousness of it is just what fucking riles me up, like, that they made it 3 stars instead of just 2 stars. Like, it could have been 2.
It's laziness. It comes from laziness.
It's laziness, yeah.
In the older days, they did the same thing. They've always done this, but there was a lot more work involved to make it more subtle. And now they're too lazy, and they don't give a fuck. They're like, we'll churn this out.
And like, I thought they were going to show the winners a bit more respect, but apparently not. You haven't said your 2 things that you liked and 1 thing you didn't. We sort of got derailed there.
I mean, I think we just did the whole episode. They actually are very similar to you. I actually couldn't find 2 things I liked, but I did say that I liked that there was at least some variety in the show. I did like Monet's performance. And then the one thing I did not was, I didn't even have that either, but I put in the twist in it and we just talked about it, so. Let's actually move on. After the lip sync,
sure.
Jinx revels in her 5th win, and Trinity is proud to have conquered a comedy challenge. Shay sees no path to the finale for herself and wants this week off. Meanwhile, the other girls feel a twist could be on the horizon. The next day, RuPaul enters the workroom to announce this week's maxi challenge. The drag race gives back variety extravaganza. Each queen will perform a show-stopping act, and the winner of the lip sync will win $30,000 for a charity of their choice. In addition, each queen will join Ru and Michelle for a tic-tac chit-chat. And in a twist, the top 2 All-Stars of the Week will receive 3 legendary legend stars, leveling the playing field and giving Shay newfound hope. Any thoughts on anything that happened after the lip sync the next day? Any big thoughts there? Nathan Patrick Brown.
As I said earlier, like, I'll watch the episode and then watch it again to take notes. So I think if I'd taken notes on my first watch, I might have thought, written things down differently, but watching it on the second time when I was just so angry and over it, I was like, this is bullshit. You can see the foreshadowing. You can see the editing. I was like, why is Shay getting 1 million confessionals?
Yeah.
I was in the wrong headspace for this section. So basically it's just a lot of like, fuck this in my notes.
Well, I don't think you're wrong. They had a, you know, what happens is the producers do one thing and then the editors have to go and then justify it. And so they were like, well, I guess the only thing we can do is just put a bunch of confessionals. In fact, it's actually kind of sloppy. There's a bunch of ADR.
Is there?
Oh, yeah. If you listen closely, it's like Shay is multiple times in this first segment is like, I don't know what I'm going to do. I only have 1 star. And like it's all over the place. It's like her what she is saying is so choppy.
Yeah.
Because there's so much other little dialogue that they had to put in because she didn't say it and they wanted her to say something. So it's all over the place on that one. But honestly, that's the only note I have for both segments. I said nothing of note there on my notes. All right, let's move on. In the workroom, the queens are shocked that the whole season hinges on the variety show. Raja plans to honor her Indonesian roots with a Balinese dance. Trinity is performing an original song about her southern upbringing, and Monet will put her opera education to use. At the Tic-Tac lunches, each queen joins Michelle and Rue. Trinity has been blown away at the talent on this season. The Viv was intimidated to compete with American queens she's admired for years, and Evie gives an update on her health. Meanwhile, Raja talks about her relationship with the church. Jinx's sobriety has let her have more fun during the Drag Race run, and Jada's prior win has allowed her to be herself. Again, Nathan Patrick Brown, any big thoughts on those two segments?
I will say that 8 Tic-Tac lunches is a lot. Like, that went on for 800 minutes. Mm-hmm. I didn't need... You know, I would have been annoyed if they'd cut a queen out, but far out, just at the 8th time, I was like, all right, you got a charity. All right, enough. Mm-hmm. And one thing I did like, though, was when Monet was asking for her to have the opera glasses. I thought that was fun little bit. And Rue, like, instantly remembered what she'd said that episode in season 6 or whatever, but can't remember Jinx's name.
So I know. I didn't even think about that. Yeah.
It's a funny insight into how Rue's mind works.
Yeah, it's about her. You know?
Yeah. And I will say, I think I like Evie now. I think I finally have come around, because, you know, I never really liked her that much. Kind of hated her guts.
Yeah, no.
But now
they had a roast where she had a big dick, and now you're like, you know, I think I've turned the corner on Evie.
You know, it was the confessional where she was, like, deep-throating the water bottle. I was like, you know what? She's got a certain charm about her.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, I'm now on board. I don't think I'll ever go see one of her shows, but I don't hate her anymore, so that's a win for Evie.
I think from what I've seen online that she's actually, speaking of laziness, her shows are rather subpar and lazy. And she just wears, like, and that's, she kind of leans into her brand, and she just wears whatever, and it's just, like, not, I think there's the clothes are here on Fierce because she's on television, but that she's, you know, just drove in rags, and she's not very friendly and whatnot.
I get the impression that queens, like, who would lean into the punk aesthetic are just a bit lazy. Like, like Sharon Needles, like, you know, you can wash your clothes, Sharon. Yeah. Like, yeah. Oh, fucking punk rock. Yeah. Like, you stink.
Adore, too, is another good one.
Yep.
Yeah. She's a mess.
Yeah. What did you think of the Tic Tac chats? Anything stand out for you?
I actually have notes here on that, actually. Yeah. First of all, let's talk about the workroom. I wrote, the show is telegraphing. Oh, yeah. There's a lot of confessionals, like you were talking about with Shay going, like, I need to win this one. And I really am like, oh, okay, well, we all get it. And then I don't know why I wrote this. What does it mean? I wrote, what is a talent? Which I guess is just a general overall. I think they're talking about a talent show, but, like, what is, I mean, how would you, for Drag Race, define a talent? I've ranted about this before, but.
Yeah. So I get that talent, you know, writing a song, performing a song, recording it, and then dancing along and lip syncing to it. I get that that can be a talent, but you're in a drag competition. So when everyone else is doing that same talent, it doesn't stand out.
Yeah.
There's no variety there. So I don't know why they would have done that. Like, if I was a queen going on All Stars, I would try and think outside of the box.
Yeah.
So yeah, for a talent, even though they call it a variety show, I think for that reason.
Yeah.
But we all know still it's a talent show.
Yeah. There was half variety, half not. I agree with you about this Monet with the opera glasses thing, but it was also nice that we actually, I've heard that Monet, you know, studied opera, but we never heard it. There was that All Stars 4 thing they were talking about. And, I remember thinking, like, oh, she studied opera, but now we got to hear it and she's actually very talented at it. I mean, I don't understand opera, so I don't know if she is or not, but.
It sounded good. Like, she could have been flubbing the words, but it sounded correct.
Yeah, I don't know. Evie. Let's talk about Evie. She got kind of emotional about domestic violence that she'd witnessed with her mom. And I was very curious if it involved, because, you know, everyone is so thirsty for Evie's dad. And we don't know who the culprit is of this domestic violence, but could it have been Evie's dad?
Oh.
I don't know. But I think Evie and her dad broke up fairly early on, so maybe it wasn't. But, yeah. And then also she's talking about her condition and how it's getting worse and she's running out of time when she can do things. But, and I don't know how you feel. But if I was actively in a profession that made my condition worse, wouldn't you just stop doing those things?
Yeah, like no one's asking her to do all of the flips and tricks. Like yeah. she could just, you know, stay stood. But yeah.
And she doesn't
I don't know. It's hard that, when yeah. someone loves doing something, like to yeah. tell them not to do it.
That's true. But yeah. But you don't have to wear heels. I'm sure they you could get away with
Raja them. Doesn't.
Yeah, Raja doesn't. And so like you
she doesn't even tuck.
Oh, she doesn't?
Nah, Raja's not a tucker.
I also want to talk about Jinx and RuPaul breaking down. And usually I would be like, this seemed fake, but I actually think this one was real. I'll tell you why. Go ahead, Nathan Patrick Brown. What were you going to say?
I was going to say, like, usually I think he's being legit, but this time I was like, this is so fake.
Oh, usually I thought it was real because I feel when you're really doing that, you're trying to hold it in so you'll go in and out, which he did. Where yeah. when he's being fake, it's very constant. It's like, you know, as gay people, we get to choose our families. But in this one, you could tell he was trying to hold it together and then it went right back into normal voice, which I think made more sense to me. I don't know. I can't tell when, you know, RuPaul is such an amazing actor that how could one tell yeah. when he's being fake or not? And then finally, when I was watching Raja's Tic Tac Lunch, I was really actually watching for something else. I was watching her and how she engaged with Michelle. Do you know about this thing that came out in the past week about Raja yelling at Michelle?
I did hear about that, yes.
Yeah, for those of you who don't follow this stuff so closely, there had been a rumor that Raja let Michelle have it. Now, by the way, every season from season 8 on, there's always been this rumor. I even think season 6 with Bianca, there's always been a rumor that one queen tells off the judges.
As they should.
Yeah. And there was a rumor that Raja had told off Michelle in on the main stage. And then later was screaming about how she should be fired back on Untucked. And Trinity confirmed it at a Roscoe's viewing party. And then I think someone else confirmed it too later. But essentially that Michelle, because the queens have said that the judges did give them negative critiques. They just cut them all out.
Mm-hmm.
And that Michelle had given her some negative critiques, and Michelle was just like, and Raja clapped back and was like, well, who the fuck are you to give me these techniques? You're not even a drag queen, like, essentially, and read her for yeah. filth, and then was shouting about how Michelle should be fired backstage after all was said and done. And I guess, I don't know how tense it was, I mean, but I was watching for this to see what the interaction was like between them. It wasn't that interesting.
I would have loved to have seen that.
Well, you know it's on film. They're just not going to show it to us.
Why was Michelle in this Tic Tac Lunch? Like, I know why she was there when it was like the fake podcast or whatever. Yeah. But what value does she bring in this sort of situation?
I would say, going back to the mouthpiece thing, is that she can remember things that that Rue wouldn't, and probably step in when they're like, remember when I did this? And Rue's like. You know, no. She can step in and be like, Rue, remember Trinity was on season 9 with Valentina?
And Rue just nods.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, that's right. I think that's the value that she brings.
I did think with Monet, Rue was like, oh, I've seen you on this stage for years and you're different this time. And I was like, do you really remember her?
I would say, so as someone else who has memory problems, I would say he remembers that she was on the show, but I bet you he couldn't tell you what season.
No.
But he knows that he might remember certain things. All right. Why don't we do this? Why don't we take a break? And when we come back, we are going to talk about the rest of the episode. We'll be right back after this.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Yeah, we are back. Oh, man, did we have a fun time during that break. It's a talent show day, and the queens are getting ready for their final attempt to snag some stars. Raja does some stretching, Trinity is eager to have a front row seat at a drag show, and the girls are excited and fearful that six stars are up for grabs. Before we go into the... This is stop. Did you have any... I had no notes on this. It was a very whatever.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
No. There was one little chat where they had... like a discussion about what they thought the tiebreaker would be, and everything that they came up with was better than what it ended up being.
Yeah. And they're like, I know the production should have been like, oh, those are good ideas. We're going to do it.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, they didn't. All right. Well, then it's time for us to discuss the Drag Race Gives Back Variety Extravaganza. I graded it, actually. I know you didn't know I was doing that, but I gave it grade like we did with the roast. And let's go through it. The first one down was Trinity. She did she lip-synced to an original song called Southern Hospitality. Did you have any big thoughts on this, Nathan Patrick Brown?
I think I think there was four of them that did a lip-sync to an original song. So they're my bottom four just out of the gate, because unless you're doing something crazy, like jumping off of a box, then I'm not that interested. So I thought Trinity's was good. Like, I enjoyed the song. Mm-hmm. It was pretty stock standard, but I liked at least that there was some sort of twist at the end where she got the iced tea poured on her chest. So for that, like, it was all right. Middle of the road.
You know, I felt the same way you did, and the way that I put this into a grade was if you did a competent lip sync to your own original song or whatever you're doing, you got a C+. And that's what Trinity gave. She gave a competent lip sync to her whatever song she was doing. She gets a C+ from me. Nothing special, nothing interesting. I wasn't even that impressed by the tea stuff. Whatever. All right. Next we have Evie Oddly. She got wheeled out in a trunk by a lookalike, and then she did a rap number. Your thoughts on the Evie Oddly number?
I enjoyed the bait and switch at the start with her coming out of the box, but then it fell off a cliff and got really boring for me, and the song was terrible. Yeah. But I still put her a little bit ahead of the original song crew because there was something different at the start, at least.
Yeah. You know, I saw her just the same. It's another word. So yeah, the cleverness was balanced out by the not so great performance. So she came in at a C+ as well. I also gave her a
fair enough.
Next we have Jada Essence Hall. She came in lip synced the number. She did Look Over There, her song, her rap number, Look Over There. What were your thoughts on this, Nathan Patrick Brown?
A bit basic. Like I'd still put her on the same level as the rest, as I've said, but there wasn't anything super exciting, and I think we're a bit over the Look Over There at this point. And I don't know why they're doing the variety show at the end of the competition. I think if it was at the start of the competition, maybe we'd be a little bit less over the Look Over There catchphrase, and it would have played better. But for me, it was a bit meh.
I'm going to tell you something. I didn't think it was as great as the other ones. I gave it a C.
Okay.
It was competent, but still, like, I'm so sick of this fucking Look Over There. I dock you a half a grade.
Can I reveal something? Through all my schooling years, we've never done A's, B's, C's. Like, what do you guys, I never did that.
What do you guys, is like an F of the best one because you're upside down?
No, it just did, like, out of 100. So when people say C or C+, you know what? Like, logically know the difference, but I don't really know the difference.
I can tell you, and there's debate on this. There's debate. The way I was raised on this, there's some the numbers go back and forth depending on where you are. But in my schooling, we'll do it this way to make it easy because it can get a little tricky. But to make it easy, the low end of the, so like 90 to 100, okay, the low 90s, 91, 92, that's an A-, you know, 93 through, let's say, or maybe even 93, but then 94, 95, 96, that's an A, and then 97 to 100, it's A+, right? I'm making this up. There's wiggle room here, because my school was a little harder on it. And then it's the same thing with going down. So in the 80s is a B, 70s is average. That's 70 through 80. And then, but then the D's is a really short one, at least in my schooling. So that, like, it was really only 65 to 70 was a D, you know? And then anything under 65 was an F.
That's rough.
Yeah. So people might have the way they did it before. Like, actually, technically in my school, C plus was like 78 to 82. So, so guess what? You get the little wiggle room and the points and stuff like that. But like, so think high 70s, low 80s.
Right. So, because I'd think, you know, if we were judging Jada's performance, I'd put her in, like, if I was marking out of 100, in the 50s.
Oh, well, again, in very, the like, really zero is like 65 or 60 here on this grading system. Okay. So, so an average score on this grading system is a 75.
Okay.
So to me, Jada is 100% 7 to 75. Trinity and Evie, they're like in the high 70s for me. I could convert this if you want to an actual number out of 100 if you want.
I'll be able to just figure it out, I think.
I'm going to do both. I'm going to do both.
Okay, thank you.
Just so you can, yeah.
And maybe like a smile system, like how wide is the smile?
Yeah, I'm going to do that.
Or is it a frown?
And then I'm going to do check marks as well, like check plus.
That'd be great. And stickers.
Yeah. All right, next we had Jinx Monsoon. She did live vocal performance of an original song. What were your thoughts here?
I thought it was a good song performed well. I was a bit underwhelmed. Mm-hmm. Again, I think it would have played better if this was episode one, because in the past, you know, 9 weeks or whatever, we've sort of seen her perform better than this. Mm-hmm. And so it was sort of like a step back for Jinx.
What would you give it out of 100?
I'll give her an 80.
Oh, that's much lower than mine. To me, it was a B+. So she's, to me, a solid 89, right?
Okay.
She's an 89. But I'll tell you why. Because she gets major points just because she didn't do a fucking goddamn lip sync dance number, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
She went out there and she said, it looked like she was singing live, but I've seen people say they think she was lip syncing to herself singing live. I don't know.
Oh. I thought it was a live song.
Yeah, I got the impression it was live as well. I could be wrong, but she did a good job making it seem like it was singing live, sounded live, 89 for me. All right, next we have Shekule, who did a choreographed lip sync to her original song, Your Name. Your thoughts on this, Nathan Patrick Brown?
Overrated. I thought it was very basic. Sure, she danced well,
mm-hmm.
But... she didn't do anything extra. I was just so bored by it.
Mm-hmm. What's your number?
And I'm annoyed. Let's go 68.
Wow. We're on two different scales, because to me, this is a B minus. Because, you know, on the 68, you're like at a DD plus, FYI. So you're saying it's a DD plus.
I'm doing an Australian scale, and she's a 68, which is like a credit.
I think we're in the same place a little bit. I think your 68 is like my 80, which is a B minus.
Yeah.
You know? Okay, very good. Raja did a Balinese dance. Give me your thoughts on this.
I think as an entire presentation, it was great. Like, there might have been moments where I was like, okay, I'm bored now. But it was different. It showed us a different side of her. It had meaning. It had impact. And so for that, I would put her in the top two. Mm-hmm. Looking at it as a whole, mm-hmm. it was much better than some of the other shit that was served to us.
So what's your
number? So let's go 82.
I don't know about the scale, because I also gave her a B-. I think I'd give her an 82 as well. However, ours is different. Mine, though, is, I agree with everything you say. Again, major points because it was different,
mm-hmm.
you know, and not a fucking lip-sync choreographed number. However, well, it was a choreographed number, but there's no lip-sync. It was different, right? It was a traditional dance. I couldn't tell if she was doing it well. I would love to get some sort of, like, person from that culture to say that was, you know, shit, or that was, chic, you know?
Yeah, she was chic.
Yeah.
I thought the same thing as well. It's like every time the Olympics are on, everyone, well, not everyone, but people say, like, there needs to be an ordinary person also competing, just so we know, yeah. like, how good these Olympians yes. are. And so, yeah, like, I would have liked to have had a bit more background on whether or not she was doing it correctly.
Yeah, I agree. Next, we have the Vivian, who did another choreographed lip sync number to an original song called Bitch on Heels. Any big songs there? Anybody in big songs? Sorry.
I feel similarly to Shay. Like, I don't think she was doing anything that extra or amazing, but I do think it was probably the best of the original songs. Like, it's the song that I would probably go back to and listen. It was the catchiest one, and she did it well. So I'll put her above the others who did an original song, but, like, below a Raja or a Jinx. So let's give her a 78.
It's funny you say that, because it's, she said that the person who wrote it was Diane Warren, who is an iconic songwriter. Iconic. Mm-hmm. You know, from the 80s and 90s, but iconic. And I was listening going, like, this is Diane Warren. This is a lazy Diane Warren song. But you can tell that even a lazy Diane Warren song is better than the other ones that were there.
What are some other Diane Warren songs?
Okay, let's look this up. Yeah, she has, oh my gosh, she has so many.
Do you think this is just one she wrote 30 years ago and no one ever bought it? And then
there's actually a playlist here written by Diane Warren. I'm going to play only 30 seconds of each or so. Ready? Here's I'm going to jump in the middle too so that we can hear. Here we go.
Oh,
yeah.
That's a good one.
There's another one. Oh.
Oh my God.
Yeah. Another one?
For all those times you stood for me.
Yeah.
For
all Here's another one. Hold on before you can guess what this is.
Wow. Turn back time.
It is. There we go. Here's this.
Wow.
You know this?
It's Unbreak My Heart?
It is. Unbreak My Heart by Toni Braxton. How about this?
No.
Oh, we'll give it some time here.
How do I get through a night without you?
Oh, it's Leanne Rimes, How Do I Live? Probably one of her bigger hits.
Oh.
Yeah. Here, maybe you'll know this one.
Is it That's Amore?
No, that's close. I'm gonna leave my footprints on the sands of time. I Was Here, Beyonce. Something that, and okay. Something that hold on. Okay, up at this. Behind.
Why do you look so good in those jeans? Oh, is this Gaga?
Why it is. What is this? Now we're getting the ones where I don't know them.
I will survive without you.
Oh, I didn't know she... Oh, yeah, come on. You know this one?
Nah.
Oh, Ace of Base.
Oh.
How about this one? This is Milli Vanilli. Blame It on the Let me just put it all. Blame it on the stars. Didn't shine that night. Okay, hold on. How about whatever you do, don't put the blame on you. This is a good 80s, 90s hit. Alright, that's enough. The point is, she has a lot of big hits, right?
And Vivian got the worst one.
Yeah, but
still.
I think that even the lazy, horrible one that she wrote for Vivian was better than the other ones, according to what you were saying.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Now we have finally... Oh, what was the score you give the Viv?
Did you, I can't remember. I think it was like a 81 or 78.
Oh,
or
I gave her
like
an 80. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
And then Monet Exchange.
She's my top. I thought it was fantastic. It was different. It was talent. Mm-hmm. She looked great. And I thought she just did it really well. She performed. So I'm giving that one like a 97.
90s. Oh, I gave it a 91. But in the 90s, an A, as you're saying.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Very, very good. All right. Well, that's the variety show extravaganza, eleganza. They didn't put the eleganza part in there. All right. On the main stage, RuPaul names Monet Exchange and Shea Coulee the top two all-stars of the week and gives both three legendary... Oh, she gives both three legendary legend stars before making them battle it out in a lip sync for their legacies and their charities. The song, Supernova by Kylie Minogue. Now, you're a big Kylie Minogue fan. Were you so excited when that song came on?
I was.
Yeah.
I love that Kylie disco album. I thought it was a bloody hoot of an album, and so it was good to see it represented.
All right, after the lip sync, Shay is named the winner, and it's announced Shay, Monet, and Jinx have booked their spot in the finale, but as the queen with the most stars, Monet is forced to break the tie between Jada and Trinity the Tuck. Monet honors the Twinner Alliance and invites Trinity to the finale, but in a final twist, it is revealed that Raja, the Vivian, Evie Oddly, and Jada Essence Hall will compete in the Queen of She Done Already Done Had Herses lip sync Lollapalooza for a crown and 50,000 doulas. Nathan Patrick Brown, any final thoughts on the episode?
Well, that final twist where the bottom four get a lip sync, like, I'm happy about that. It's good to see that the remaining four queens aren't just thrown aside. And it does make more sense because I was thinking, is the final episode really just going to be three lip syncs? Like, that's going to be pretty dull. So happy about that, but just all the bullshit leading up to it. Like, you know my thoughts already. And these judges' critiques really riled me up. I wouldn't be mad at a refresh of the judges panel. Like, I could do without Carson. He said at one point, slayage, as I believe the kids say. And I'm like, no, they do not say Carson. And this fucking Michelle, she's a lying See You Next Tuesday when she said that Shay's dance was next level-ish. I was like, fuck, shut up, Michelle. Bullshit, Vivian. Bullshit. And those are my thoughts.
I love how when she was saying, you know, that the queens won $10,000 each or whatever for their charities. She goes, RuPaul goes, courtesy of Terrence Mack from the Palette Fund. And I go, I love how this Palette Fund does a good thing, but this Terrence Mack needs to have his fucking name read on the goddamn RuPaul's Drag Race. The other one I'm going to say, and this is so picky and dumb, is when RuPaul says $49,000 and then...
Yeah.
Michelle pulls out a wad of hundreds and goes, I'll throw in 1,000. And I go, that wad is so thick, that would be like $10,000. That wouldn't be $1,000. And I was like, you stupid bitch, get out of here.
What a fucking idiot.
Fire
she
her.
Sucks.
Yeah.
Fire.
So, yeah. So all final thoughts have been given, Nathan Patrick Brown.
Yeah, the lip sync was good. I thought maybe I just hate Shay, but I do think Monet won that one. But at that point, I was just over it, and I said whatever.
They were good. I wish we should watch. I don't have Wild Presents Plus here, but we should have watched the Blue Hydrangea one and compared. But I think everyone. I mean, I remember thinking that was a terrible lip sync.
Yeah, I think I remember thinking they ruined a Kylie song. You know,
Now it was redeemed. So it was redeemed.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that's going to do it for this week's episode of RuPaul's Drag Race Recap. Be sure to join us next weekend, every week, as we continue to discuss, dissect, and deconstruct each brand new episode of RuPaul's Drag Race All-Stars Season 7. So for Nathan Patrick Brown and myself,
sashay away until next week.
Thank you for listening to RuPaul's Drag Race Recap. Have something to say? Leave us a voicemail at speakpipe.com/afterthoughtmedia or email us at dragracerecap@afterthought.media. For more Drag Race and LGBTQ content, support us on Patreon at patreon.com/afterthoughtmedia. This episode was produced by Luke Stamen and Zach Birch. Nathan Brown has two other podcasts. The first is Breaking Down Bad Books and the other is called Bravo Bravo Effing Bravo. You can find those podcasts wherever you get your podcasts. You can also find Nathan on Instagram at NathanBrown90. Finally, follow Joe Bettens on Instagram at Joe Bettens. Special thanks to our expensive tier Patreon supporters. Agnes Yeshopinska, Alex S. April Pacheco. Obtuse Guy. Brad Coley. Karina Williamson. Dave O. Deck Head. Elizabeth Timmer. Emma. E. Smith. Boastful Cake. J. Thomas Plank. Jesse Harris. Anonymous. Lauren Eckert. Doofus Maximus. Lucy Carrasco. Luke Stammen. Mercedes Mueller. Nicholas Springham. Nikki Baker. Poppy Woods. Ricardo Herrera. Robert NYC. Sarah Yu. Tom Bombs. Travis Newland. Troy Anderson. Zach Nelson. Drag Race Recap is an Afterthought Media podcast.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.